When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to the Liverpool Echo's Blood Red Podcast. We've got something a little bit different for you this week, a midweek special during the international break. I'm your host for today, Patrick Smith, and what we'll be doing on this show is identifying some potential transfer targets for Liverpool in the summer. But don't worry, listeners, it's not going to be more Jude Bellingham waffle or Josko Vardiol, or those sorts of players. We're going to be suggesting some more obscure shouts that Liverpool could go for in the next transfer window. Well, join me today on this scouting mission are two of the best young brains the Echo Desk has to offer. Up first is Kiefer McDonald. Welcome along, Kiefer.
Afternoon, gents. Looking forward to talking about someone who isn't named Jude Bellingham, so I'm sure we all are. So, plenty of names to dig through this afternoon.
Yeah, well, so listeners, if you're sick of hearing about Jude Bellingham, we're sick of talking about it as well. So we're going to give you a bit of a break from that today. And we're also joined for the first time in a while by Tom Cavillo. Welcome back to the pod, Tom.
Hi. Yeah, it's been a while, actually. Good to be back on. So get into today's episode, talking about some targets.
Yeah, good one to come back to as well. Something a bit more unique, I think, isn't it? So the plan for the show, as I said, we'll work our way through the defence. We'll suggest a centre-half and a right-back. The midfield will suggest a number six and a box-to-box player. And then in the attack as well, we'll suggest a player there that Liverpool could potentially bring in the summer. You know, it's been made pretty clear by Jurgen Klopp and FSG that a big summer rebuild is on the cards. So without further ado then, let's begin at the back. Kiefer, let's start with you then as well. Do you want to talk us through your choice at centre-back?
Yes, I'm going for Pau Torres from Villarreal. Obviously, Liverpool haven't been linked with too many centre-halves this year. If you compare it to the midfield, really, there's obviously been a lot of names mentioned. So, obviously, I don't think there has been actually any links at all with Liverpool. I know he's obviously been linked with Everton and previously Manchester United, but just from having, you know, watched Villarreal last season and I remember in the Europa League final, he was pretty decent, left-footed. I think he was even linked with a move to Chelsea at the time as well. I think he'd do well. It seems that, like, maybe his time to move away from Villarreal could be coming. Obviously, they've lost, you know, obviously lost a manager, didn't they, in Unai Emery earlier this season. Obviously, Dan Juma has gone to Tottenham Hotspur on loan. So maybe that team of that obviously reached the semi-finals of the Champions League is slowly being broken up little by little. And maybe he could be the next one to kind of pave way. Obviously, Villarreal punching massively above their weight in European football. And as I say, he's a left-footed centre-half. He's of a decent age. I've got his Wikipedia. He's 26, so you know he's kind of can come into his prime if he did move to Liverpool, the Premier League in the coming years. As I say, he'd add some balance. I know Liverpool like to play with obviously Van Dijk on the left because obviously those kind of outballs that he's capable of are, you know, so kind of destructive in attacking areas and setting up attacks for the likes of, you know, Salah or Harvey Elliott, whoever's on that right hand side. But I think if you're looking long term, how many players have got the passing ability that Van Dijk has? You know, obviously not many. So maybe we might see Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool revert back to a more kind of classic thing of, you know, left-footed centre-halves on the left side and right-footed centre-halves on the right. You know, obviously on the right, you can have, you know, Ibrahima Konate, Joe Gomez, obviously they're still young. So I think maybe that is just a gap that you could plug. As I say, I haven't watched loads and loads of him, so I couldn't reel off his Wikipedia, even though I've got it in front of you right now. But as I say, he's obviously clearly got a talent there and obviously he's in the national team, a decent amount of caps there too. So, you know, he's certainly a player that, you know, if he was to come to Liverpool, if that happened in the coming years, I don't think anyone will be turning their nose up. But in terms of, we're going on to right backs now. We're going to
we'll go for Tom's centre back next as well. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting choice, Pau Torres, just to talk on him. I mean, we've seen him play against Liverpool, haven't we? You know, played well in that Villarreal team for Spain, a more progressive ball playing centre back, left foot. So I think, you know, the attributes that Liverpool certainly look for. But yeah, Tom, who's your choice at centre back?
Yeah, I'm going back to Benfica after Darwin Nunez raid. Going to go for Antonio Silva, centre-back. He's only a young player, but I think he's already, you know, made a big impression at Benfica. you know, this season they're doing really well in the league and the Champions League, and he's been a big part of that. In the league, I think they've only conceded 14 goals in 25 games, so that sort of just shows you the level of that he's been playing at in the rest of the Benfica defence. As is often the case, though, with Benfica, you know, they tend to produce a lot of good players through the ranks and then make a lot of money on them as well. So I think Silva's contract at the moment, he's got 100 million euro release clause, I think it is, and that's been reported. So I can't see Liverpool necessarily wanting to trigger that if they're going to try and sign Jude Bellingham as well. So it may be a case of having to put a bid in and seeing what happens there. But I'm pretty sure Liverpool won't be the only ones that are looking at him as well. That's the problem. Contract, I think, runs till 2027. So again, Benfica will probably get a decent fee for him. But yeah, like I said, he's a younger player. He's one you're buying for the future, but is already performing at a high level. And I think it would probably be a good investment. It's just whether Liverpool would be willing to, you know, they'd probably have to pay upwards of 50, 60 million for him. That's the only thing. But I think that's the going rate these days, isn't it, for any good player. So unless they, you know, manage to find some sort of Joel Matip deal again, getting someone in on a free transfer like that. But I'll go for Silva on centre-back.
Yeah, absolutely. A very exciting young player. And, you know, Benfica being absolutely raided for their young talent by the Premier League. Let's be honest, I mean, it really wouldn't surprise us to see him in the Premier League, would it? But as you said there, there is a case where Liverpool do potentially need two centre-halves. I mean, Joel Matip is the one that's been rumoured to leave this summer, that, you know, his contract's going to have 12 months left on it. There's talk of maybe trying to sell him to free up some cash. Nat Phillips may want to move somewhere, so that leaves two spots. And I think, you know, getting someone young in like Antonio Silva could be a great shout along someone maybe like Pau Torres, or the player I'm about to suggest, who is Evan Ndicka, 23 years old, French. He plays for Frankfurt in the Bundesliga. Like Pau Torres, he's a left-footed centre-back, something I think Liverpool are really missing. I mean, I know I said we weren't going to talk about Josko Gvardiol at the top of the podcast, but they need someone of that play style, I think. Someone who's, you know, can run out of defence with the ball, who likes to come forward and play a bit. And I think having someone left-footed is really important as well, and can sort of open Liverpool's play up at times, because with Matip's form, it's been a bit sloppy. It seems very closed off at the back, I think. They seem to sort of, you know, go sideways a lot more than they went forwards in the past couple of years. But yeah, so Evan Ndicka, very good player. You know, 6'3", very physical. He looks pretty quick. I think, you know, they play quite high line, similar to Liverpool from what I've read on him. You know, obviously wins a lot of his aerial duels, progressive ball playing centre-back. But the main thing with him, I think, is contract's expiring this summer. So he's actually available on a free transfer. Now, you know, we're all kidding ourselves a little bit, thinking that FSG are going to splash loads of money. Free transfers, as Tommy mentioned there, Joel Matip was one. I think this could be a really good shout on a free transfer to bring him in. Still relatively young at 23. You know, that big physical presence. And also left-footed ball-playing centre-back is the exact thing Liverpool are missing. And obviously, there are loads of clubs linked. I think almost every single club in the Premier League's top six has been linked with a move for him in January. So I'm sure that'll be even more intense in the summer. But yeah, there's a couple of options there at centre-back. And like I said, I think Liverpool could definitely do with, I think, getting two of them in and maybe trying to ship on Joel Matip and Nat Phillips. I think Nat Phillips will definitely want the move.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
But anyway, so let's move on to right-back then. The reason I put right-back in this is after Jamie Carragher's comments on CBS's coverage of the Champions League, advising that Liverpool sign a backup right back, something more defensive maybe, or just someone to challenge Trent. I mean, it's quite a hard position to look for, granted. So, Tom, we'll come to you first on this one. Who have you gone for at right back?
Yeah, it's a player Liverpool have been linked to before, actually. It's Max Ahrens from Norwich. I actually really like him. Games I've seen him play, you know, I've seen him a few times playing against Liverpool, and also just a few of Norwich's other matches they've played in recent times. Always quite liked his style, quite an attacking player, but like Trent going forwards. I think as well, with him being a championship player, you know, it's all well and good going for the top players in Europe, but I think sometimes there is a market for going for players like that, that we've seen in the past with Andy Robertson from Hull. You know, you'd probably be able to get him for a decent fee. He's out of contract next summer, so I think he'd be available for maybe 15 million or so, something around that region. I think Norwich in the past have rejected sort of advances from other clubs. I think Arsenal may have been linked to him at one point. I think they were holding out for quite a decent fee for him, but obviously he stuck around there. But he's now approaching the end of his deal at Norwich. You know, if they weren't to get promoted this season as well, which it doesn't look like they may not, I think they're currently just outside the playoff places. So if he's spending another season in the Championship, he might be thinking, oh, I might try and get a move this summer. And I think he'd be a really solid option, to be honest. I don't think he'd be expecting to play every game, obviously, with Trent being first choice still. But in terms of having a player that would be happy to be a backup and is not going to be expecting, you know, that's the problem a lot of the time. There's so many players that just want to be playing every game. I think he's someone that would probably accept, you know, I might not play every match, but he'd be like a go-to for all the early rounds of FA Cup and pretty much all the Carabao Cup and then just rotation in the Premier League. I think you couldn't really go wrong with that, to be honest. He's still quite young as well. 23 years now. So, yeah, I honestly think that would be a really good investment if they could pull that off. Linked to Jamal Lewis as well at one time on the other side, but that didn't come off. But yeah, I do think it's a good option, and homegrown as well. That's another thing. Count as another homegrown player.
Yeah, very, very good point as well on the homegrown front. I mean, I think that's the sort of player they need to go for, isn't it? Someone who will accept being a backup, because that's going to be difficult on its own. Because as I said, there's actually not many right backs out there when you have a look. The options are quite scarce. And then convincing someone to come and play as a backup to Trent is difficult. But yeah, I think Max Aranzo's got a Premier League experience as well. Homegrown, as you said, ticks all the boxes for that one. Kiefer, what are you going to go for at right back?
Yeah, I'm going to book the trend a little bit, partly because of everything that Tom just said there. I think he's hit the nail on the head. It's such a, you know, such a difficult position for Liverpool to recruit. We've obviously seen that on the other side with Andy Robertson in kind of previous years and before the arrival of Kostas Tsimikas, you know, obviously how burnt out they both were and still probably both are. And obviously Trent is probably more unique than Robertson in terms of, you know, how he plays and how he comes inside. And, you know, at times he often comes in as a centre midfielder, and, you know, how many right backs can do that? It's obviously such a difficult position, and you know, he is at times been Liverpool's system. So, you know, you could argue when he's on song, he probably is, or certainly top three of Liverpool's most influential players. So how do you then go about, you know, sorting a replacement, you know, who's not going to be on loads of money, who's going to be happy to, as Tom says, you know, just play the early rounds of the cup and maybe rotate here and there. So I think it's a really difficult position. And I think obviously it's been highlighted more this year because obviously Trent has struggled. But I think, as I say, I'm going to put the trend out. I think I'm going to stick with Calvin Ramsey. And that's a bit of a cop out of an answer. But I think it's obviously, again, very similar to Tsimikas in terms of his first season. I think he only played two or three games. I think one was in the League Cup against Arsenal. I think he played about 80-odd minutes in the Premier League. And everyone was thinking, you know, why have they signed this guy? You know, what is there to gain from it? But obviously, we saw with the proper pre-season and kind of Liverpool returning to their best when obviously they had a similar crisis to, you know, at the time with, you know, what happened at centre-half and those kind of issues. And obviously, you can probably, you know, draw parallels with that this season in terms of the midfield and obviously how all the gaps are now, you know, starting to show because of that. So obviously, it wasn't the ideal time to, you know, prior to his, you know, season-ending injury, it wasn't the right time to drop Calvin Ramsey in anyway. You know, he's obviously only 19 years of age, you know, had less than, you know, 30 professional games up in Scotland, you know, done really well by all means, but, you know, it's a completely different kettle of fish coming to the Premier League and playing for a team like Liverpool, you know, expected to have most of the ball, be decisive in possession, break lines, all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, next season will be a real reflection of what Liverpool have bought in terms of Calvin Ramsey. And I think, you know, I think it'll be, yes, it might be wise for him to go and sign, you know, a right back, maybe someone who's a bit older, maybe a bit more experienced, you know, maybe looking, you know, not sure of names off the top of my head, but someone who's maybe 29, 30, 31, who's maybe looking for that last kind of contract, who maybe can put an arm around Trent at times and maybe given that bit of advice and guidance. But I think, you know, if you look at Joe Gomez as well, who's you know, probably not going to be partnering Van Dijk next year, it's probably going to be Konate. You know, you've got him at right back as well. I just don't think Liverpool, obviously I know, as I said, there's been a lot of talk about Trent in the past 10 days or so, but I just don't think Liverpool need a right back this summer. I just think there is other glaring necessities to kind of put into this team to make it be able to compete at the top of English football and European football again. And I just think, you know, it'd be very unfair to kind of cast Calvin Ramsey aside. And whether, you know, they send him out on loan, I suppose, is a different question altogether. But you know, I'm sure that assessment will come in pre-season and, you know, after 2 months of training on the tours and, you know, when Klopp gets a better look at him, because, you know, you have to remember that, you know, when he did his first day of pre-season, obviously they detected something that wasn't picked up in the medical, and he kind of missed that whole tour of Asia. And then I don't think he played in Austria when they went over there. And then all of a sudden he's playing catch up and he's only played 2 or 3 games. So I think it'll be quite unfair to kind of cast him aside as a, you know, as a no good and all this kind of thing. Obviously he's still very young and obviously, as I say, it's a very difficult position to fill. So, you know, I'm sure and I hope time will prove that, you know, Liverpool have already solved that problem in Calvin Ramsey and, you know, for what the fee was, you know, 4 or 5 million, you know, hopefully it proves to be a shrewd deal.
Yeah,
just remember
absolutely.
As well, we've got Connor Bradley as well, haven't we, in that position?
Yeah.
He's been out on loan doing really well at Bolton, so I'm interested to see what happens with him, because from what we're hearing about from Bolton, you know, Ian Everett, the manager's loving him there, would want him back another season, but Liverpool might look at that and go, maybe we'll bring him back and give him a chance. So that would be one to keep an eye on as well.
And that's maybe where you might get a situation where they swap with Ramsey. So they might bring, you know, Bradley in as a second choice to Trent. And then obviously, you know, Ramsey might go to the Championship or wherever they kind of deem, you know, suitable for his play style. And that would obviously be something that works really, really nicely, because then I suppose in the summer of 2024, you've got, you know, Trent, who's going to be 25, 26, 27, and you've got two young fullbacks in their early 20s who have, you know, hopefully accumulated over 50 professional games, you know. So as Tom said, it can change so quickly. And, you know, I think there's more, you know, options there than people perhaps realise.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the point with Calvin Ramsey as well. It's kind of harsh suggesting Liverpool to buy a backup right back, because they did last summer. It's Calvin Ramsey. He's just been so unlucky with injury. But yeah, Connor Bradley as well, playing well. I think the case of those two players, I think they need another season of at least Championship experience under the belt. They need to be tested at a tougher level, I think, particularly Connor Bradley, just to see if, you know, they have that capability to play for Liverpool as a backup right back. But I mean, it's certainly an interesting one. The option I've gone for now, as we said, there probably isn't going to be much budget free for this position, because obviously the priority will be centre midfield. I think a couple of midfielders and then the centre half. So that doesn't leave much budget. So again, I've gone for another free transfer. Don't worry, this is my last free transfer of the five I'm suggesting today. But yeah, I've gone for some Premier League experience in Nelson Semedo. A bit more of an older option now. Liverpool don't tend to sign players in their late 20s. It's normally players, you know, just coming into their prime. But I've gone for Nelson Semedo, the Wolves right back. He's 29. His contract's up this June 2023. He's a very quick right back. He's relatively solid. You know, he does pretty well in tackles. He's got decent dual success ratios. Obviously, good enough going forward as well. He likes to dribble a lot and run out, sometimes too much for his own good. But I feel like that could be a very good level for Liverpool, because he's the same level, I'd say, as a Kostas Tsimikas, who can come in and is, you know, he's played for Barcelona before, he's played for the Champions League. I mean, the only game that comes to my mind is the 8-2, I think, so that's not the best example. But he's played at the top level, he's played for Barcelona, you know, all those matches, I think it's like 80-odd league matches he's played. So I think someone like him would be a good option, just a bit more experience in the squad. I feel like, you know, with his contract expiring, he may look for one last, you know, big club to go to. But then on the flip side of that, it's going to be very difficult to convince him to say, right, you're going to come here and play 10, 20 matches in a season, not 30 or 40 that you used to. That's where the problem's going to lie in that. But I think someone a bit more defensive-minded, maybe like him, you know, a bit older, a bit more experience in there in the squad, rather than throwing in one of the young lads, you know, Ramsey or Bradley, it can be a bit daunting, you know, if you chuck one of them into a Premier League match, let's say, God forbid, Trent gets injured next season. So,
the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, Nelson Semedo is the one I'm going to suggest there. Kiefer, let's come back to you then, into your holding midfielder. Who are you going to go for in that one?
Declan Rice. I know he's probably a name that people are maybe not as sick of as Jude Bellingham, but he's been another tentative name linked with Liverpool. And probably, to be fair, you know, every top six club, you know, in the country over the past, you know, 18 months or so. And before we were doing this pod, I was shocked to find out. And I'm not sure if it's a sign of age catching up with me or what, but he's got 39 England caps. I don't know why that is so shocking, but obviously he's only 24 years of age. And I just think he's an absolutely brilliant footballer. And perhaps, I wouldn't say he's underrated, because he's obviously the key figure of that West Ham side and kind of the linchpin, and obviously everything they did in Europe last year, he was the captain on field and all that. But I just think, you know, certainly in terms of England, when you look at the superstars, you know, that play ahead of him, I think obviously in the World Cup you had obviously Jude Bellingham and Henderson forming a really good kind of midfield partnership with in front of Rice. And then obviously you've got the likes of Foden, Grealish, Rashford, Kane, Sterling, all of those. So I think he is somewhat underrated. But obviously his transfer, you know, his transfer fee certainly won't be. I'm sure West Ham will be, you know, squeezing every penny they can get out of him. I think he's got a year left on his contract. I think it expires next summer. Yeah, so it expires next summer. So you're probably looking at, you know, 60, 70, 80 million if you're West Ham, rather than losing him on a free next year or something like that. But yeah, I just think in terms of what Liverpool need, I think obviously, you know, Fabinho's kind of had his problems that everyone's seen this year. But even when Fabinho's been on song, I still think Liverpool can always do with another defensive midfielder. I just think they've never had the depth. And I know Klopp, you know, through time has obviously rotated with Jordan Henderson, but that's clearly not his preferred position, which he's gone on record and said, you know, numerous times over the years. And you know, games like, you know, if you take last week at the Bernabeu, for instance, you know, where you're playing a something which I'm sure we'll see more of from Liverpool, you know, 4-2-4 or 4-2-3-1. I think to maybe have two players like that who are, you know, so defensively minded, because obviously Rice is, you know, he can drive with the ball and kind of break lines and that kind of stuff. But I think to have, you know, two players who are comfortable at holding their own, you know, where they've got four or five attackers in front of them. I think when everyone saw the team news last week and it was Milner and Fabinho, I think everyone was like, oof, you know, there's every chance Madrid could score here after 5 or 10 minutes. Obviously that wasn't the case, but there's always that kind of worry. So I think if you did bring him in, obviously just talk that Fabinho could go, but I think he's certainly someone, given the age profile, and as I said, given that he can also play a bit further forward, he's someone that could work alongside Fabinho. And obviously with, you know, the likes of Thiago and Henderson, you know, entering kind of their mid-30s, 31, 32, 33, I think it'd be a really smart move for Liverpool. Obviously, it would be expensive in the same way Jude Bellingham was, but I suppose that the guarantee with Rice, whilst he's not a direct replacement for Bellingham, I suppose you know what you're getting with him in terms of he's been there and done that in the Premier League. He's, you know, played over 200 games for West Ham. Whilst with Jude Bellingham, as great as he has been in the Champions League, you know, in the World Cup, in the Euros or wherever he's kind of played, I just think if you're bringing in a 19-year-old for such big money and he's got to kind of become adjusted to a new league and you're spending that kind of money, you're expecting him to hit the ground running, which is very likely not going to be the case, because A, how many Jurgen Klopp signings hit the ground running anyway because of the system and the demands on and off the ball? And also, again, he's 19. So it's like there's every chance, as we've seen with Sancho, who's obviously, I think, 2-3 years older, you know, he kind of lit up the Bundesliga, but still, you would say, hasn't hit the heights that were maybe expected of him, you know, when he first signed for United. So I think there's obviously that security as well. And obviously the point Tom touched on earlier is the homegrown status could become a bit of a worry for Liverpool. I think I imagine James Milner will probably get an extension of some kind, but, you know, there's every chance you lose Kelleher this summer, Phillips as well. You know, so Oxlade-Chamberlain's going to go. So, you know, I think to kind of address the area, whilst it might be expensive in terms of 60, 70, 80 million, I'm sure, for what you get in terms of longevity with Rice, ability, and obviously the homegrown thing, I'm sure it'll prove to be worth it for, you know, whichever Premier League side he does eventually sign for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, any player who joins a young Klopp side does struggle to adjust to the pace, particularly when they move from a foreign league. And that's one of the huge pluses there for Rice. He already plays in the league. I think as a six, it'll be slightly easier than moving into that midfield as a box-to-box, because if Jude Bellingham signs, he's going to have to hit the ground running. They're expecting the best midfielder in the world to be playing for Liverpool the minute he joins, which could be quite problematic for him, I think. Whereas, strangely, I feel like there'd be less pressure on Declan Rice if he were to hypothetically sign for Liverpool. I don't know why that is, but I just feel that would be the case from, you know, national media.
I think as well, sorry to jump in, Pat. I think as well with Bellingham, is I think that's something that I've seen no one really highlighted, but the amount of football he has played probably since the summer of, you know, 2021, I'd imagine he's probably played probably about 95% of Dortmund's minutes. If he hasn't, you know, picked up an injury or so, he's probably played near enough all the England games, probably been included in all of the camps. And then again, to go again, you know, this summer, obviously, he'll get a bit of time off. But to then go again straight into the Premier League is going to be...
Come and play 60 games for Liverpool in all competitions, and you have to be their best midfielder. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
That's obviously the problems that Liverpool, obviously, without kind of deviating into all that, that's the problems Liverpool have had this year. So, you know, to kind of throw all that in on a 19-year-old is a massive ask. But obviously Rice, obviously I know they've played in the Europa League and the Conference League, but, you know, he's a bit more kind of experienced in terms of he's kind of gradually built that up throughout his career. Whereas Jude Bellingham, it feels ever since he has signed for Dortmund, he's just been playing football, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, do you know what I mean? For the last 3 years, which obviously long term has kind of got its own issues.
Yeah. I mean, Tom, what's your take on this situation in midfield? I mean, do you think they need someone more experienced? I mean, who's your suggestion for the holding role?
My take on it is, I thought this wasn't going to be a Jude Bellingham chat.
We've done it, listeners. It only took 25 minutes. We did well.
I'm going for Ruben Neves. So another experienced player. He's played 169 appearances at Premier League level, and he's only 26. So to have already made that many at that age is quite impressive, really. And he's another player that Liverpool were linked to a few years ago, actually, as well, when he was at Porto. This was years ago now. It feels like he's been around for ages, and he's only 26, only recently turned 26 as well. So, you know, he's someone that, you know, he knows the league. He's done well at Wolves. You know, he's been a really important player for them in the times they have pushed up the table and gone towards the European places. I don't think they would have been able to do that without him in the team, probably. He's out of contract next summer. Is another one of those that's, you know, coming to the end next year. So Liverpool may be keeping an eye on it ahead of time. I don't know what Wolves' plans are. I would imagine they would want to keep him, but I've read some reports recently saying that it's looking more likely that he might leave because they're struggling to come to an agreement over a new deal. So if that is the case, I think it would be well worth, you know, making an offer, really. Given he's out of contract next year, I mean, I guess the fee, again, it's hard to gauge, really. I mean, it would probably be 20 million upwards, I would think. He's not going to be, you know, £80 million player just because of his contract situation for a start. So I think it's a reasonable target. I don't think it's unrealistic. I know a lot of fans are getting frustrated because they feel Bellingham is an unrealistic target for Liverpool, but I don't think you could say that's the same for Neves. Another thing I quite like about him is the goals from midfield element. So, you know, we've seen it loads of times, all these goals he scores from outside the area, done it absolutely hundreds of times for them. And Liverpool don't really have a player that does that anymore.
I was going to say, when's the last time you saw a Liverpool player score from outside the box? I mean, it's very rare, isn't it?
Yeah, Gerrard's like one of the only ones. I mean, Coutinho used to do it quite a bit. Apart from that, there's no one really. We don't really get many goals from midfield. It's just all on the attackers most of the time. I kind of felt Naby Keita was going to be that player a little bit, chipping in with the goals, but that hasn't happened. I think he would be a good addition to the team if they could go and get him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's also got that captain experience as well. He's a real leader for Wolves, which would be massive for Liverpool dressing room, I think. Massive in the midfield. He's such a presence. And as you said there, you know, he takes set pieces as well. He's good at shooting from distance. I think that's something Liverpool definitely needs to add into their midfield. I mean, that's a similar profile to my centre mid, I'll move on to in a while. But as for my number six, I've got probably the one I'm most excited about from this list. I watched a YouTube montage and I'm convinced he's going to be the best midfielder in the world. It's Khéphren Thuram, 21-year-old, centre midfielder, defensive midfielder from Nice. He can sort of play anywhere across the midfield, though. He can play box to box. He's even played a bit further forward. But I think he plays holding midfield for them. I can't say I've watched many Nice matches. But because he's 6'3", you know, very physical, dominant presence, he's actually really quick and quite agile too, given he's that tall and such a big physical man. He's the son of Lilian Thuram as well, and him and his brother Marcus have both recently called up for France. So obviously runs in the family, the footballing genes. But he's got 10 goal contributions in 40-odd games this season. He's got really good numbers for holding midfielder in a creative sense. I mean, he's created 25 chances and only got 4 assists from them, but he's, you know, making those chances for his team. Really good pass accuracy, in the high 60s for dribble success ratio. So, he's clearly confident on the ball. He's just an all-round machine. I think he'd be a really, really good signing. He's a really exciting player. He's quite highly touted. I think he's sort of the Tchouaméni of this season, if you like. So he's probably going to be around the 50 million mark. I'm not sure if Liverpool will have that budget for him. It's the only problem. I mean, you know, let's please say they get Jude Bellingham. the money isn't going to be there for that, I don't think. I mean, there's a couple of free options I've looked at midfield, just like a quick look there on transfer market. N'Golo Kante is on a free transfer potentially. Ilkay Gundogan. The one that's most exciting though is Yuri Tielemans, I think, could be definitely one they look at getting in for free because Premier League experience, only 25 years old, you know, just coming into his prime. I think that'd be a great one. But yeah, just to go back to Thuram, I think he'd be a really, really exciting player for Liverpool to go for. I'd really like to see him in there. The physicality, I think, is such an important thing as well because it's quite a weak Liverpool midfield we've seen this season. They've, you know, the Liverpool midfields of old would dominate their opponents in running distance, presses, sprints, challenges, aerial duels. They'd almost win every single category, every match when they had that massive unbeaten run. And this season, we've just seen them be bullied non-stop. So I think in the six, if you're signing someone, I'd definitely want to see someone like Thuram, who's a big physical presence and can bring some energy and dynamism into the midfield.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Let's move on then to our box-to-box players. Tom, we'll come to you on this one. Who are you going to go for there?
So I was going to mention Tielemans as a, you know, another midfield option because he's a player I do like, and like you said, he's out of contract. Just don't know whether Liverpool would, I don't know, view him as someone that could adapt to the system, I guess. Every time I watch him, though, I really like him. I think he's a really good player, but I just don't know whether Liverpool would like have him really high up on their list of players. But I would be open to it if that was considered. The other player I was going to mention was Matheus Nunes, another Wolves player. We should do a double deal, maybe if we get a discount like we used to get from Southampton for all their players. I know Liverpool were linked to him, obviously, in the summer. Didn't get him. He's gone to Wolves. He's done okay at Wolves, I would say. He's not set the league alight, but I think he's shown glimpses of quality. Still young as well. If Liverpool did sign him, he's 24 now. Again, he's a player that's going to be around, performing at a high level for a number of years. The fact that Liverpool were interested in him and still are sort of suggests that there's every chance Liverpool will come back in for him in the summer. If Wolves were to go down, obviously that changes things too, because they'll be more likely to be selling a few of these players. So, yeah, I guess it's one we have to keep our eye on, but I would definitely be open to Nunes as well. Just think he's a little bit different to what we've got at the moment at Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one I would definitely be interested in. Really exciting box-to-box player. I mean, he's got it all, really, isn't he? All-round player, quick as well, would suit the Gagan pressing system, I believe. I mean, I must go back to this point I made on a podcast last year. I think Liverpool, as a double raid, you mentioned there, of Wolves, they should have gone for a double raid on Sporting Lisbon, I think, because yeah, they could have got Matheus Nunes and João Palhinha. I thought he was a brilliant player then. He's been so good for Fulham this season. But it's so frustrating to think they could have probably signed both those players for 50, 60 million together, whereas now they'll likely cost 50 million each. I mean, yeah, the way the market works, which is another really one. Frustrating, yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on, talk about Palhinha.
No, I was just saying that's another good suggestion. Yeah, I think,
yeah,
like we've seen it full in the scene, he's been really good. So all the Sporting, we should just set up a new system in Portugal. That seems what all the other teams are doing as well. Just sign
players from the Portuguese competition. I mean, it's frustrating to think that. I mean, hindsight is a wonderful thing, obviously. But Kiefer, who are you going to go for then in your centre midfielder role, from over 8/10 maybe?
Well, you've name-checked quite a few of them, to be fair. Obviously, Tielemans is another one that, as Tom said, I think he's been linked with Liverpool for, you know, the last 3 or 4 years. And you maybe think, I thought especially when Wijnaldum left, maybe they were both of a similar profile and, you know, in terms of athletic and can do both sides of the game very well and still add goals. Goals from midfield, which, as you say, Pat, is a massive issue that Liverpool, you know, haven't been able to solve in recent years. And I'm surprised that he hasn't, you know, had a big move. It feels like maybe a Tottenham or an Arsenal certainly would have been the next step of his development. But obviously with Leicester, you know, doing as poorly as they have done this year, and obviously with him out of contract, it appears that he will walk away, you know, at the end of the season on free transfer. And I'm sure he'll have plenty of suitors. I think Arsenal were quite heavily linked in the summer, weren't they? I suppose the flip side of that is, you know, what comes with it in terms of wages. Maybe you're compromising that aspect of if there's no transfer fee. You know, he's obviously going to get a big wage, and obviously with Arsenal, you know, challenging at the top in the league, I'm sure they'll want to sustain that position. So maybe they'll be more willing to do that than Liverpool. I think it's quite difficult at the moment because it's so uncertain where Liverpool will be this time, you know, next year or even in a couple of months in terms of what competition we'll be playing with. So it is quite difficult, but obviously Mason Mount is another one where, you know, another big name that's obviously been linked with Liverpool quite regularly. It offers you that versatility. Could obviously do a job if needed, which I don't think it would be needed in the front line, but he can do that. Obviously played kind of off the strike in a 4-3-2-1 under Thomas Tuchel. Again, adds goals from midfield. His runs from deeper are really good. And I think he just, you know, I think collectively, obviously we did the podcast the other day and we did kind of touch on Mount. And I think obviously a lot of Chelsea players have maybe hit a slump now because there's been so much turmoil since, you know, since the Abramovich stuff. You know, when was that? Last February. That's obviously been about 12 or 13 months now where the club has just been in complete disarray. And then obviously when they kind of did get a bit of stability during the summer, obviously the manager goes and they bring in, you know, Graham Potter. So I think it is quite hard to judge Mount at the minute. And, you know, as it sounds, a lot of Chelsea fans probably aren't too happy with him at the moment, which I don't really get. I can understand his gripe at not, you know, not being rewarded in the same manner that, you know, the likes of Reece James have. But I think, again, not that Liverpool should sign all the players for homegrown, but he ticks that box, doesn't he? Obviously, the big worry is, I suppose, is how much is the transfer fee going to be, because he has got 1 year left on his deal. Maybe similar to kind of Oxlade-Chamberlain. I think Theo was saying on the podcast the other day, you know, would Liverpool be viewed to be overpaying for him? My kind of response to that was, well, 35 million then is probably the equivalent of 50 million now with the way the market's gone. So I think if you're getting for there or thereabouts, I think, you know, everyone collectively and I suppose Chelsea as well would shake hands and think it was a good deal. And the other thing I really do like about Mount is that I feel that every time a new manager's come in, I feel like he's been written off. Obviously, when Lampard came in, obviously Chelsea had the transfer ban and he was kind of the star of that alongside Reece James, Tammy Abraham, Tomori. And then when Tuchel came in, it was a thing of, oh, Lampard only played him because he had that loyalty and he had him at Derby and this is and this. And then he proved, you know, Tuchel wrong and helped Chelsea to a Champions League, you know, second Champions League trophy. And then even at international level, there was, you know, talk of, you know, Southgate preferring him. And I think he's proven, you know, 9 times out of 10 when he has put the England shirt on that he's, you know, worthy of that level and worthy of pulling on, you know, the shirt. And then obviously under Potter, you know, again, this is where maybe you draw the line, but it's obviously been a bit of a chaotic time at Chelsea. But, you know, I think he'd be brilliant. And to go back and liken to Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think they're both at that stage of their careers where, you know, I think they're probably both at similar ages, about maybe, what, 24, 25. It feels like they both need, even though that's kind of been viewed as their club from young, I think they both kind of needed that next step, maybe something a bit more refreshing. It seems like Arsenal at the time, obviously, we're a bit of a mess post Wenger, and obviously Chelsea kind of need to kind of sort their stuff out. So I think he would jump at the chance of joining for Liverpool if he's a really hard worker off the ball and obviously, you know, brings your quality on the ball. And again, to go back to it, which, you know, to bang the drum, but Liverpool do need goals from midfield. We how many times this season has a game been crying out for a moment of magic? You know, where City is, you know, you only have to go back to that final day of the season when Gundogan pops up with, I think it was 2 goals, wasn't it, against Aston Villa to win the league. And Liverpool just don't have that. Obviously, they have such an array of talent in the attacking, you know, positions that 9 times out of 10, they don't need goals from midfield. But, you know, even the game at Crystal Palace the other week, you know, even the Bernabeu last week, you know, where the games are tight and maybe it's in and around the box and you just need someone to have a bit of quality, have a bit of composure, take another touch. And I just feel like Liverpool do lack that at times. So, you know, I'm sure Mount can bring that in abundance. So I'd be delighted to see him if he does come to Liverpool. It sounds like obviously it's kind of edging closer by the day. Obviously, every day he doesn't sign a contract at Chelsea, you know, he kind of edges towards the door. So, you know, fingers crossed if Liverpool can, you know, get a deal like that done. And then, as we've said, complement him with other players, you know, whether that be a Ruben Neves or a younger player or, you know, Jude Bellingham, I think it would be a really promising summer.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one I'd really like to see him bring in, actually. I think he'd suit Liverpool's system so well. It's good to compare him there with Oxlade-Chamberlain as well. I'd never actually thought of that because they were at similar stages. Now we're talking about Mount signing to when we signed Oxlade-Chamberlain. I mean, Chamberlain, I think, could have been a brilliant player for Liverpool. It's such a shame the injury problems he had. But they're both similar in the sense that they're attackers that are being played for the forward at the pitch, but that actually suit playing as a centre mid for Liverpool. I mean, Chamberlain could have been that player. I'm convinced Mason Mount could be a really good centre midfielder for Liverpool. I won't be playing him on the left as he's played for England sometimes or in a 10 role that he's played for Chelsea. I'd make him a box-to-box midfielder because he's got that creativity with him, as you said. He scores goals. Liverpool desperately need that from midfield. But also, he's got that energy as well and that engine on him that he can press. And I think he will press, you know, very well for Liverpool. Solid in defence as well, wins a lot of duels, he never shirks a tackle. I think he's absolutely the one they need. But moving on, and I've got a bit of an obscure shout here for a centre midfielder. I think it's the absolute ideal player profile that Liverpool need in midfield, as we're talking about. Creative players, set-piece takers, goal scorers. It's Okan Kökçü, or I don't know if that's the surname, it's K-O-K-C-U. I think it's Kökçü, but yeah, so he's a Dutch-born Turkish centre midfielder. He's the captain of Feyenoord, and he's only 22 years old. He came through their youth ranks, so I presume that's why he's been made captain at such a young age. But it's quite similar to Cody Gakpo in that he's, you know, such an amazing young talent in the Dutch league, been made a captain from a young age. He's clearly got those leadership skills he's shown through. But yeah, Kökçü this season, he's got 15 goal contributions in 32 games. I mean, obviously, the Dutch league isn't much to go off, but he's got 3 goals and 2 assists in the Europa League. I think he's only played like 6 matches in it as well, so it's even more impressive. But yeah, as I said, he's a set-piece taker, really nice player of the ball, great passer. He likes taking long shots. That's something, you know, Tom was talking about earlier, we don't see very often. He takes shots from range and he's very effective at it. I think with set-pieces is interesting, though, because we've become so used to seeing Trent and Robertson take the corners, and they're great crosses of the ball. I think corners is fine. But from free kicks, I mean, how many times have Liverpool scored a free kick in the past 2 years? Trent used to be very, very consistent. I remember through lockdown, he, you know, banging them in like there's no tomorrow. But I can't remember the last time Liverpool scored a free kick. I mean, it's such a rarity now. I think maybe not even scoring from them, putting good balls in from deep. I mean, we don't really see it that often. The only decent deliveries are from corners, really. So I think Kökçü in that sense would be very, very helpful. He's obviously not the most defensive-minded, is the con of him. He's quite small. He's, I think, 5'7" or 5'8", relatively small player. Not exactly a physical presence. So play more as an 8/10, a bit more advanced. But he's still, you know, still box-to-box. He still gets stuck in. But he's also completely two-footed, which is quite a rarity as well. He's really similar to Santi Cazorla, I think, in the sense that, you know, he's more than comfortable using either foot, which is something that could definitely open up the midfield. I mean, we're talking about needing a left-footed centre-half to go at the back alongside a right-footer. I think having a two-footed midfielder who takes shots can, you know, just add that extra element of, you know, the opposition won't know which way he's going to turn if he's going to shoot. I mean, I think that's something Liverpool could definitely add to the midfield. That's the sort of player I'd love to see them bring in. I mean, you know, hopefully, in fact, they get Bellingham. But if they don't get Bellingham, I think, you know, one of the number sixes we've named here, maybe a Ruben Neves, I think, probably one of the better shouts, or Declan Rice would be ideal. Bring in Kökçü, one of these, and then, you know, maybe someone else on a free like Tielemans, although we've just decided he wouldn't be a good fit. So there's that one. But I mean, it's certainly interesting on the field. There are options out there, I think, if it does go wrong and they don't get Jude Bellingham. I think they'll have to splash the cash and bring in 3 or 4 of the names we've mentioned there.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
But let's move on into the attack then, shall we? Our last play we'll pick for today now. I don't think Liverpool do need a starting attack. I think that's very obvious for me to say. But I think a backup option is something they definitely could make use of. Kiefer, we'll come to you first then. Who are you going to suggest for your player in attack?
I've gone for Jonathan David, a player they were linked with a few years ago. I think it was the summer of 2020. They kind of had the shortlist, didn't they, of obviously Diogo Jota, Ismail Saar from Watford, and Jonathan David. I think he'd just gone to Lille at the time, or I don't know if he was still at Ghent, but I think he'd just done one season at Lille. And obviously his kind of the sell at that point was Liverpool needed, you know, versatile forward, and those three kind of ticked the boxes after Liverpool missed out on Timo Werner. And obviously, you know, Liverpool have done really well with Jota. Actually just writing a piece earlier on him and just kind of how maybe he's gone a bit under the radar, you know, due to his injuries this season. But I would kind of, you know, as good as Jonathan David has been, I was just looking at his stats here. I think he's averaging 1 goal in every 2 games in the French league. He's obviously won the French title with Lille. Obviously, whilst he, you know, being an excellent player, I'm sure he command a, you know, a big transfer fee. I really don't think, similar to the right back, I really don't think Liverpool need another forward this summer. Obviously, I know Roberto Firmino will be going, and maybe it would have been nice to keep him around for another year. But I think, you know, you look at the, you know, this season, Liverpool haven't had all of their attackers available together. So I think when you throw that into the mix, obviously the other night all 4 of them played, which I wouldn't be surprised if we see in a 4-2-3-1, you know, on a regular basis, you know, next season. And then you've got, you know, the likes of Diaz or Jota or Nunes or Gakpo even, you know, coming off the bench. And then I think obviously you throw in Ben Doak's development, which has, you know, been rapid. I don't think anyone expected when he signed last year from Celtic that, you know, within a year he would have made five or six, you know, substitute appearances for the first team and really excelled through the ranks, you know, even to the under 21s. Or the fact of when you watch him at the academy, he's, you know, he's head and shoulders above that level, and he's what, five years younger than some of the players he's playing up against. So obviously his development is at a point now where I think you can get away with it for the rest of the season, keeping him in the 21s. Obviously there isn't a game really you'd throw him in between now and the end of the season, but, you know, I think next season obviously you've got a massive decision of, do you send him out on loan, you know, do you keep him around, do you give him, you know, those games, as Tom's saying, the early rounds of the FA Cup, the League Cup, you know, some of those Premier League games, because obviously we've seen that he can handle himself. Maybe he just needs that extra bit of composure, but obviously the lad's 17, so there's obviously plenty to go out. He'll have another pre-season. So I just think maybe there Liverpool stumbled across. I say stumbled, obviously, you know, the scouts did brilliantly to find him and kind of identify that he wanted to leave Celtic. But I just think maybe, given his development, I think it just rules anything out really for Liverpool. I just, especially when the players we're talking about, certainly in midfield and certainly in defence, are going to command such huge transfer fees. I just think your priorities probably, you know, lie elsewhere. And I know people have said, you know, had their say on Jota and maybe his injury issues and obviously Nunes and maybe how he settled in. It wasn't as quick as everyone has expected. But with Jota, you'd hope now that he's over the worst of it. You know, they were, you know, two pretty freak injuries. Obviously, Nunes has got, well, he will have a full season under his belt, and he's obviously getting better by the week. Gakpo's the same. Obviously, Diaz, again, another two freak injuries, if you want to say it like that. And then obviously you've got Mohamed Salah, which everyone knows the qualities and capability, you know, that he can deliver for Liverpool. So yeah, I think Liverpool are well stacked, and obviously I'm sure they'll be alert to any situations changing in Europe if, you know, there is some targets that they've admired for a long time, and maybe contracts don't go as they would have expected, they might be ready to pounce. But I just think at the moment, you know, you've got such an exciting player like Ben Doak. And Cade Gordon, let's not forget, he hasn't kicked a football for 13 months. He's another one I think Ian Doyle said to me that he was the youngest player to start a major cup semi-final for Liverpool when he started at the Emirates in the League Cup last season, which, again, he was 17 at the time, which tells you the faith that Jurgen Klopp had in him and everyone at the club. So, yeah, I think there's enough knocking about within the academy at the top end. And I think, obviously, even if that wasn't the case, I think, you know, the five options or the four options they will have next season, in terms of those kind of four, Salah and the four other players, I think is more than enough.
Yeah, we'll absolutely be seeing more of Ben Doak and Kay Gordon, that's for sure, as well, being two really, really exciting young players. But I mean, the strange thing is, at times this season, Tom, it's felt like Liverpool haven't had many attacking options off the bench, have they? I mean, we're going to get used, hopefully after the international break, to having those options back. You know, they'll be likely to be Luis Diaz and Roberto Firmino on the bench, you'd imagine, and Jota as well, maybe with Gakpo, Nunes and Salah. I mean, they've got six attackers now. Obviously, one of those in Roberto Firmino is going to be leaving. Keith, you mentioned the name Jonathan David there. I mean, if Liverpool were to sign another attacker to replace the Firmino slot, would you go for, you know, someone who plays down the middle, or would you go for some more width?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Like Keith said, we've got a lot of options there now. I think the Luis Diaz injury is just kind of like, I think everyone's just not forgotten about him, but you just kind of plan the team around, you know, Diaz isn't here. But I'm actually starting to think about what they're going to do when he comes back in terms of who's going to be playing up front next season. I'm interested to see how they decide that. I do like the look of Gonçalo Ramos at Benfica, but I'm going to leave Benfica alone because we've already taken enough of their players. I'm sure he's going to be signed by someone else as well. So Benfica will be, you know, in the money again, I imagine, this summer. But it's just a bit frustrating because a couple of players I did like are already in the Premier League. I really liked Isak. I thought that was Liverpool linked to him for a bit when he was at Real Sociedad. I thought that would have been a good signing. Obviously, he's now doing well at Newcastle. And then big fan of Alvarez at City as well. I think that would have been a player that probably would have fitted quite nicely into Liverpool's system. But I'm going to go for Ismail Assar, someone Keith has already mentioned. He was on that 2020 shortlist Liverpool had. They obviously opted for Jota in the end. And I know he's not necessarily like for Firmino in terms of the position, but he can play. I think he has played centrally a few times for Watford. He's got 14 goal contributions this season. And when he has played in the Premier League, you know, he's generally done fairly well. Obviously, had that good game against Liverpool, which I'm sure you remember, which ended the unbeaten run that everyone, all the rival fans, loved and enjoyed so much. But yeah, I'd go for him because I read a report on Monday, I think it was from The Athletic, saying he's likely to be sold this summer. He's out of contract next year, so I'm guessing that's the reason for that then is obviously they don't want to lose him for free next year. And it looks like he's not going to agree a new contract at Watford. He's been linked, you know, with a move like loads of times. I think he's been close to leaving about three or four times now each year, and Liverpool have been linked to him as well in the past, I remember. But I think you probably, a bit like Neves, you could probably get him for kind of a cut price deal, maybe 20 million, something like that. And I think for someone, you know, the quality he's shown and his age as well, 25 now, he's still a good age, so I think it would be a good option for Liverpool. It's just whether, where would he play and what, you know, where would he come into the pecking order of the attack? That's the only
issue. Do you think he's good enough, Tom? You know, he's had a couple of seasons in the Championship, albeit with, you know, a season in the Premier League in between, and he's still not had that move yet. I mean, do you think he's at the Liverpool, you know, to be a backup at Liverpool, or do you think he's shown that by, you know, he's currently a Championship player? He was the same 2 years ago. I mean, surely he should be moving to the Premier, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I think he's good enough for the Premier League, to be honest. I mean, if Liverpool don't sign him, there's every chance they don't sign him. But, you know, he would probably end up at a Premier League club. I can't imagine he'd stay in the Championship after Watford. I'd be really surprised if that was the case. I think Villa came really close to signing him in January. Last summer it might have been. So there'd be a handful of Premier League clubs, I would imagine, that would really like to have him. You know, maybe teams a bit, you know, Aston Villa, Fulham, teams like that. I would imagine there'd be a few clubs looking at him. But if Liverpool don't sign him, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But I just think he would be a good player to have in the team.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting one. You know, he's been linked with Liverpool since 2020. Literally, we've seen him, you know, so many transfer rumours with him. But I do agree. I think he's the sort of player Liverpool need now. As I said, Roberto Firmino's leaving. That leaves a space in the attack. I think they should replace that position with someone who's quick, who can bring width, who can come off the bench and cause some problems down the line. I mean, you know, as you mentioned, Cade Gordon and Ben Dirk both fit that style of player. I think they definitely will be. But I mean, if you're hypothetically going to sign someone, the shot I've gone for is Nico Williams of Bilbao, not Nico Williams of Nottingham Forest, not bringing him back as a winger. Unfortunately, as huge a fan of him as I am, but it's his namesake with an I, plays Athletic Bilbao. He is the brother of Iñaki Williams. Very quick Spanish winger, you know, brings width to the side, really traditional in the sense that he likes to take players on, he likes to go on the outside, he dribbles past people. He's got 13 goal contributions in 31 matches this season. He's got, you know, 7 caps for Spain. He's only 20, turns 21 this summer. He's a really, really exciting player, I think. And it's just a good option to have off the bench. And as I said, he plays on the right-hand side naturally. I think that's the main focus you need if you're signing an attacker, because Mo Salah doesn't often get a rest. There's no one that you can bring in that's an out-and-out right winger. I mean, we've got 4 left wingers almost now, haven't they? A couple of number nines slash... I mean, they're all suited to that left-hand side. They're all a bit uncomfortable when they play on the right. I mean, Jota's the one we've probably seen play out there the most. And whilst he does a job fine, he's clearly not his best position. There's no one that is a right winger. So, yeah, I think Nico Williams is one that I'd hopefully look to bring in. He's quite an exciting player. His contract's also expiring in 2024, so he's entering the last 12 months of it now. And, you know, I mean, we're all aware of how strict Bilbao are on the market. I think they tend to, you know, squeeze every penny out of every sale they make. We've seen it with Ander Herrera, Kepa, you know, Laporte. They don't sell their players for cheap. And I think, you know, he's going to be around the 40, 50 million mark. Maybe you could get him cheaper because he's in the last 12 months of his contract. But it's an interesting one anyway. And I think, you know, they definitely need to bring some pace in off the bench. And that's the one thing they're missing in attack. When I think, you know, a game like Bournemouth, I think that really would have helped if you could bring someone on who's rapid, can just cause problems and get in behind, you know, get the defence playing backwards, not forwards, rather than, you know, those brilliant creative players we've got. I think it's just a different string to the bow that you could add. But anyway, yeah, so we'll leave the podcast there. There's plenty of work to do in the summer then, isn't there? I mean, Liverpool, if you need any scouts or any transfer recruiters, another back room is emptying, you know where we are. Come and use our services. We've got some great shouts for you. But yeah, we'll wrap the pod up there. Thank you very much to Keith McDonald and Tom Cavilla for joining me. And of course, a huge thank you to all of you for listening and watching along as well. Make sure you subscribe to us on the Blood Red YouTube channel and whichever platform you get your podcasts from, so you don't miss any of our daily brilliant podcasts. As I said, we've got Analyzing Anfield tomorrow, and of course, the Blood Red podcast on Friday. So make sure that you subscribe, everyone, so you don't miss those when they drop. But from myself, Patrick Smith, Keith McDonald, Tom Cavilla, thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you again soon.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.